Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Welcome to Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We are broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land on which we live. Today we were going to, and we may still, hear from Maura Gamble in conversation with Helena Norberg-Hodge on the topic of localisation. Helena Norberg-Hodge is a linguist, an author and a filmmaker, and a visionary leader and pioneer in the New Economy movement, founder of Local Futures and convener of World Localisation Day, which is taking place on the 21st of June. She champions community resilience and the revitalization of traditional wisdom. She wrote a book, Ancient Futures, Learning from Ladakh, and made an award-winning documentary, The Economics of Happiness. And both of these have inspired global localization movements. The conversation was recorded during the online permaculture festival, the Festival of Wild and Kind Ideas, which took place over 6 days last week, and it was an absolutely amazing event with Morag interviewing six people a day for 6 days. And each conversation was inspiring as the one that I hope you're about to hear. You can get free access to all the recordings of the Permaculture Education Institute festival on the Permaculture Education Institute website. Or you can just Google the International Festival of Wild and Kind Ideas, which I highly recommend. And it's all part of the gift economy, but there's an opportunity to make a donation if you would like to. Speaking of money, I must mention, like all the other programmers, the 3CR Radiothon, which kicks off on the 3rd of June. I'd like to thank all those who donated to Local Food Connections last year. So our listeners raised $1,200 last year. And I'm really hoping that if you value the content of this show, to please donate again during the upcoming Radiothon. Oh, we'll actually have a Local Food Connections crowd raiser up on the Give Now page, probably sometime in the middle of next week, so you can do that. You can also do it all the other normal ways, like by calling the station or popping into the station or Googling 3CR going online, and there's a donate button there, and be sure to tell them that you're donating to the Radiothon on behalf of Local Food Connections. I need to tell you also that there is a couple of job opportunities, and these are at Silvertine Farm. That's an organic and biodynamic market garden, and it's up in Ecos in Wesburn, which is in the upper Yarra Valley, 70 kilometres east of Melbourne. The farm's been trading for 8 years, selling produce at the Ecos Friday Valley Market and the Eltham Farmers Market, and it's moving into a new iteration under new ownership with a clear strategy to grow into CSA subscriptions, which is community-supported agriculture. It's going to have a Saturday education program. It's going to be a regional food hub, and it's going to supply restaurant food over the next 3 years, and they're looking for two people to form the new core team. So here are the positions. They're looking for a head grower, And that's going to have a $70,000 base salary and plus 12% super, making it a pretty not too bad salary of $78,400 a year. It's a full-time permanent role for an experienced biodynamic or organic grower ready to take ownership of the growing program and lead a small team. This role carries a structured equity partnership pathway from year two, and they're looking for someone who wants to build the whole thing up with them, you know, not just work for them. So it's a responsible job for a passionate farmer. They're also after a farmhand, which is $50,000 base salary and 12% super. This is a full-time permanent level two award role for someone at an earlier stage of their growing journey. The focus is hands-on production support alongside the head grower with a structured on-farm training program in biodynamic and organic growing. There's no Sunday work, there's stable hours, and there's genuine scope to grow as the business grows. Both roles begin with a 6 to 12 month handover period with assistance and guidance from two founding growers. If either role sounds like a fit for someone, or even someone you know, or if you'd like to know more about this before passing it on, please don't hesitate to get in touch with Nicholas Lane. Nicholas Lane is in charge of the whole thing, and his number is 0410 934 798. That's 0410 934 798. You can also email him at nick@passiveplace.com, and their website there is passiveplace.com, and I'm sure there's more information on there. There's apparently job descriptions available, which I haven't got access to, but I think Nick will probably be able to email them out to you. So in order to listen to that interview with Helena Norbig Hodge, I've just got to do a bit of work here, and I'm hoping that it pays off. In the meantime, here are some announcements for you to listen to.
The new Climate Action radio show will surprise you.
Well, first of all, I'm not a believer in global warming. I'm not a believer in man-made global warming.
And so you'll hear voices from all around Australia and overseas that are taking all types of climate action, whether it's stopping coal and gas, whether it's building a new model of society, or whether it's just sustaining you in the grief you may feel about the climate destruction we're facing. And in that spirit, here's a poem by Rumi. Stop, take a breath, for you are drunk, and we are at the edge of the roof.
This is coal. Don't be afraid.
The
Don't
treasure.
Be scared. It's coal. It's coal. It's coal.
Tune in every Monday at 5 p.m. to hear the Climate Action Radio Show.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same.
I'm sick of the little boxes. Aren't you too? Do you want to live in nourishing green neighbourhoods where we share and care for one another and our precious planet? Are you sick of greedy people gatekeeping better futures from the rest of us? Then listen to Kill Your Lawn and Kick Your Fence every fortnight on a Friday at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 3CR with myself, Amy, and the wonderful people taking back their cities.
And they all look just the same.
CR's annual Radiothon fundraiser is almost here.
This June we'll be asking for your donations to support 3CR.
Your donation during Radiothon keeps the station radical and enables us to give voice to our community for another year.
All donations over $2 are tax deductible.
3CR Radiothon is coming. Show your support by donating this June.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Mm-hmm. This is a Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kHz on your AM radio dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. And if you go to 3CR Local Food Connections, you'll find all of our podcasts from the show over the last 3 years. I have had difficulty getting on the extract from the interview with Helena Norbeck-Hodge and Maura Gamble. So instead, I'm going to play you a little bit of another interview with Andrew Millison and Maura Gamble, and I hope you enjoy this one.
Hello and welcome back to the International Festival of Wild and Kind Ideas, and it's my absolute pleasure to welcome Andrew Millison to the show right now. Welcome, Andrew. I'm calling in here from the unceded lands of the Jinnabarra and Gubbi Gubbi in midst of a permaculture food forest at Crystal Waters Permaculture Eco Village, and it's wonderful to welcome you into our studio. Perhaps we could just begin by, where are you calling in from as a place to start?
Yeah, so I am located here in Corvallis, Oregon, which is the Kalapuya territory, in the Willamette Valley, so Western Oregon, West Coast, United States. Absolutely lovely weather here today and lots of flowers, and it's very nice. We're having a gorgeous spring here. Yeah.
So, Andrew, it's really great to see you, and thank you for joining me again. We saw each other at the International Permaculture Festival in Taiwan recently, which was a fabulous event, but you've been traveling a lot since then. You've just come back from Panama, I hear.
Yeah. So, I've been doing a lot of traveling and filming and talking. I just got back a couple nights ago from Panama, which was an absolutely extraordinary filming trip that we did of a project. The organization's called GeoVersity, but it's a watershed scale project that's been going on for 25 years, where they are revegetating, tens of thousands of hectares, actually. It's one of the most critical biodiversity corridors on the planet. It's actually, we think of the Panama Canal as about 80 kilometers between the Pacific and the Atlantic here. This is actually 60 kilometers thick between the Atlantic and the Pacific. It's actually the most narrow choke point on the entire Americas, and it is the corridor between the Amazon and the five great Mesoamerican forests. And so it's absolutely critical for species to cross over. I mean, there's a lot of human migration going on there. And so this project has been preserving and revegetating, reforesting this whole valley that is part of that very narrow point, choke point. And so I went up there. It's the wettest place I've ever been. They get about 20 feet of rain, about 6 meters of rainfall per year. And it was just absolutely teeming with frogs and snakes and birds of all kinds. And there's jaguars up there. And it was a spectacular project. I got to actually, one of the high points was I took a helicopter ride with the Minister of the Environment for the country of Panama to go survey the whole landscape. I mean, you can only see this project from a helicopter. So it was absolutely fascinating. So I'm still kind of recovering from that, lightning bolt trip there. But
thank you for joining us here then.
Yeah.
Before we screen one of your films and you introduce that, I just want to ask you about, as a permaculture educator, now you're flying around in helicopters with environment ministers exploring epic projects like this. How does this come about?
I have no idea. No, in today's connected world of the internet, attention becomes like a credential or a power of its own. So, I mean, my YouTube channel's crossed 100 million views.
Amazing.
And it has, you know, that has just opened doors, basically, where people are really interested. Like, there's something to that that is a quality that people like the Minister of the Environment of Panama, you know, I was in Timor-Leste, not far from you. I met with the president and the Minister of Agriculture and the Minister of Education there. I met with Saudi Prince when I was there. Like, these people are catching these stories and really catching, like, the story of the regeneration of the world. I mean, they're catching them on their algorithm, on their feed, and then it just starting to, like, open these access doorways that I never really imagined before.
So the power of storytelling is extraordinary, and using the platforms that you have and starting to touch people who have the capacity to change decisions on how something happens. So what are you noticing that it's changing in their practice or their policies or their what they're doing down, you know, downstream or upstream from your intersection with them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's some concrete examples of how things have actually changed. One story that I was told, so, you know, my most popular work has been from the Sahel of Africa. And so working with the World Food Program, the UN World Food Program, and what some of the people from the World Food Program told me is that they actually had donors who were a little bit hesitant, like they just didn't quite understand, like, what is this resilience thing? And so they watched some of these videos and they went, oh, now we get it, what you're doing. And then they were, you know, released the funds basically to those projects. So I think that people, you know, I work at Oregon State University, and so we call it science communication, you know, and science communication is one of the most challenging things. It's like, how do people communicate some of these critical things? How do we communicate about climate change? How do we communicate about the effects of deforestation? And because we have so much data, we have so much understanding, but how do we actually translate that to the public or to mass consciousness? And so, you know, that's what I'm working on is basically the communication of the importance of permaculture and permaculture related fields. And there's a lot of people out there, like the Minister of Environment in Panama, that are really invested in seeing biodiversity increase. They understand, you know, this guy's a Harvard educated, you know, he was the mayor of Panama City for two terms. I mean, this was a serious dude. He's run for president there, and he's all about environmental, and, you know, they get it. A lot of people in positions of power and influence, like, they actually totally get it. They just are working within the systems they're working in. And so it's nice actually for me to come into a situation like that where I'm not part of their system. I'm not part of the UN, the World Food Program system. I'm not part of all these organizations. And I can come in as just this outsider and tell the story in a way that, you know, then they can sort of use that as educational leverage in a sense.
I think that's really interesting, that sort of free agent kind of positive disruptor force. And I wonder, when you say because you can go off script, you don't have to hold a particular script of being in the World Food Program or being in the UN. You have a for life script that can be shaped. In how is your relationship then with the university? Like, is it just you going out there as Andrew Millison, or are you going out there Andrew Millison from, you know, from Oregon State University?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. As a permaculture person, you know, like my organizational alliance is to the earth and the planetary systems. I've been working in Oregon State University since 2009. But like, you know, I'm very grateful to Oregon State University, and I have a lot of great relationships there. But like my true you know, allegiance is to the work, you know, and the planet, basically. So, you know, I like wave the university flag when it is, you know, the right time for that. And a lot, and it's actually, it's another access point. It's another doorway to say, oh, I, you know, work for the university. And also all of the work I do is more like, you know, it goes through some level of review, skepticism in our online classes. Like, you know, we have external review because we're part of that system. But, you know, for me personally, like the work is bigger than any particular organization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we're going to have permaculture spread around this planet, it's going to have to be like way beyond any particular organization. So, you know, I have like allegiances to the university, but also I don't feel like constricted by the university. And the truth is, I'm doing my own thing most of the time. People are not really monitoring like what I'm doing closely. Like, I'm going for the story. I'm doing the work. I'm like going for what I feel like is the most important, highest potential. And because I generate my own funding at the university, through our online courses, basically, it gives a certain level of freedom where, you know, I'm creating the educational content that's important. Now, recently, and to some degree, I've intentionally kind of just flew under the radar, like at the university. Like, I don't go and like challenge what other people are doing, or I'm kind of just doing my work. I'm very like nose to the grindstone. So recently, with the work with the World Food Program, the university actually recognized that, and they published a big article about my work in one of the big journals that they put out about the work of the College of Agriculture. So in recent times, people at the university have actually been like, oh, what's this guy doing over here? And so I've got some, you know, recognition for that. So that's been nice as well. Yeah.
I wonder, it's interesting, really. Like, permaculture could be in any department, couldn't it? And I wonder, you know, being in the Department of Agriculture, whether it gives it a particular, like you're talking about science communication and, earth restoration. I mean, that could be in any faculty. Is there like cross transdisciplinary research that's going on, and how does the university perceive that, or how are you putting that forward as a way for people to perceive?
I mean, I'm in the horticulture department, but permaculture, I mean, actually some of the best students I've ever had have been like in geography. I feel like permaculture would be better suited to be in geography, because we just do, I mean, there's so much crossover.
You've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR, and today we've just been listening to Maura Gamble in conversation with filmmaker Andrew Millison. It was just a tiny little bit of that interview, and it was ahead of showing a film that Andrew Millison's made about rehydrating the planet, and he was talking there about visiting the Amazon. But what's really amazing to me is that the way people like Millison are actually now working at the university level, at the UN, and even with national governments. And as he said there, a lot of people at the higher levels of government get this. They get permaculture. And he talked about spreading permaculture around the planet as being, I don't know if he used these words, but it's kind of his core business. So the wonderful thing about this festival that Morag has just put on, and which you can get all the access, all the conversations, including this one with Millison, is that it was people talking about the work that's being done at the international level. Anyway, we'll have more of that in the coming weeks. You can find out all more about the Permaculture Education Institute, which Morag runs, which offers online courses. You can go to permacultureinstitute.org and you can get access to all the conversations at the festival there too. There was nearly 5,000 participants, it seemed to me, from every country in the world at this festival, and they're still going strong on the WhatsApp group. I think you can still join that too. So it's just pinging and pinging and pinging with people from all over the world, all on the same wavelength, all trying in their own ways to practice permaculture wherever they are. So more of that in the coming weeks. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus and take care of each other. Remember, if you want to support independent media, please join in with the 3CR Radiothon in June. Local Food Connections will have a Give Now page live early next week, so you can start donating in support of this show. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.